Hi everyone, it's Tiara. We are doing Volume 1, Chapter 4. I'm going to be speaking through a cultural studies perspective. To begin, the section we are reviewing is when Victor Frankenstein first creates his creation to just realize it wasn't as he originally pictured that situation to play out. What is your guys' intake on the beginning of the chapter where Victor first makes his creation?
Hey everyone, it's Brooke. I'm going to be talking about the passage we chose in relation to the new criticism theory. Tiara, I would say I was very intrigued by the beginning of the chapter and how dramatic the whole situation was regarding the creature. I was overwhelmed with how nervous it made me feel.
Hey everyone, I'm Haley. I reviewed feminism and gender roles in this section and noticed a few key points while I was going through the passage. When Victor Frankenstein first sees his creation, it's obvious he's horrified and disgusted. This initial introduction is shocking, as Dr. Frankenstein had recently dedicated his life to creating the monster while ostracizing everyone around him. The horrific experience for Victor might have something to do with the fact that his mother just died. His coping mechanism turned into completing his creation, but when he finished, he came to the realization that the monster was not as he expected. Victor relating the creation of his monster to the death of his mother probably ties back to his anxiety. Through chapter 4, we notice a sense of panic and worriedness, and we know that Victor is especially worried about his horrific creation, but when Shelley writes about his nightmare, it's obvious that has something to do with his state of worry.
I would say that Mary Shelley's use of language illuminates Dr. Frankenstein's perspective on the creature and how at first he was fascinated by this human life, then started to become disgusted and ashamed of what he created. A quote from the story states, "Walking up and down in the greatest agitation, listening attentively, catching and fearing each sound as if it were to announce the approach of the demoniacal corpse to which I had so miserably given life." Shelley used descriptive words such as demoniacal, miserably, in agitation that symbolized how unpleasant Dr. Frankenstein felt, which essentially brought light to his selfish motives and thoughts.
Tiara speaking. I believe, through my cultural studies perspective, that this is an overwhelming moment within Dr. Frankenstein's career in regards with the lifetime dream and hard work to create life derived from non-life. In that time period of when Mary Shelley first wrote her first draft of this story, it is a time with a certain viewpoint that people were perceived in that many people crave the acceptance of others. This allows the beginning of this chapter to reconcile the moment of Frankenstein's realization with the presence of his creation, to come to terms with the obstruction he brought to life and the aftermath to come. I agree with your statement, Haley, how his creation was far from how he expected, as he wanted this experiment to bring him success, not shame. From my perspective, Mary Shelley cleverly depicts both main characters within Frankenstein to clearly state the situation between both perspectives. Within Dr. Frankenstein being someone well known where he is from, and his creation being the opposite, as his creation is standing on the outside of society looking in and trying to fit in.
It's Brooke again. So I do believe that the cultural aspect of criticism plays a major role in understanding this portion of the novel. However, when utilizing the new criticism theory, I chose to focus on the chapter development. In fact, I believe the meaning of the text connects throughout the entire chapter, instead of the separate stanzas. Since, like Tiara stated, how this chapter focused on the realization of Frankenstein and his creation, this understanding further influenced how significant these two characters were within Volume 1, Chapter 4.
It's Tiara. How do you guys perceive the next actions through this chapter when Frankenstein comes to terms with the creation he created?
His actions were more impulsive and self-centered, and when he realized the monster he created was not what he pictured it to be. Frankenstein was not prepared for the consequences, and it shows when he started to ignore his creature and just leave it behind as if it didn't happen. Brooke again, the text does portray a glimpse of tension as it connects with the phonology to explain how Dr. Frankenstein is in fact having personal issues, and the meaning of it solely relates to his creation. For instance, I continued walking in this manner for some time, endeavoring by bodily exercise to ease the load that weighed upon my mind. The use of sounds and expressive vocabulary in this quote made it seem as if he walked around with the weight on his shoulders, like someone might have if they had depression.
It's Haley speaking, and Brooke, I agree with what you said about that quote. The vocabulary indicates how strongly he feels, and I was also under the assumption that he probably had depression due to his worry and isolation. Victor is forced to realize his mistakes and take responsibility when learning to accept this reality. When Frankenstein realizes what he created, he's forced to take responsibility since he's held accountable for his creation. Through this mental and physical exhaustion from working on his creation, Dr. Frankenstein has a nightmare involving kissing Elizabeth, who then dies and transforms into his mother. This might have something to do with his worry and anxiety about his mother's death and his love for Elizabeth. I think Frankenstein's actions moving forward have something to do with his troubles involving the women in his life.
It's Tiara. As Haley said, throughout the chapter, post-Frankenstein realizing the creature he created, Frankenstein portrays a more panicked tone as the inability to analyze his next steps moving forward. I had desired it with an ardor that far succeeded moderation, but now that I had finished, the beauty of the dream vanished, and the breathless horror and disgust filled my heart. That was a quote from Frankenstein. Mary Shelley, I believed, wanted to emphasize the tone of the passage as it was the underlying focus of what the creator was going to do next. After the first face-to-face confrontation between the creator and the created, Frankenstein left the scene in attempts to clearly continue to ignore the situation and postpone his next move.
Hey guys, it's Brooke. So I would say the tone did have significance when trying to better comprehend what Dr. Frankenstein was planning on doing next. But like you said, it was quite hard to figure out due to the fact that he was dealing with internal conflict as a character. As such, there was a primary internal conflict that Dr. Frankenstein had, which was not to feel alone. However, it backlashed. And he focused so much on his work that it caused him to cut himself off from society.
It's Haley again. Throughout the novel, we see that Mary Shelley refrains from focusing on any strong female roles. The only leading female role is really Elizabeth, Victor's fiance, and briefly his mother. The book embodied a stressful tone, and Victor had trouble coming to terms with many events, but his female companions helped him through this time, psychologically. Brooke, I like where you mentioned Dr. Frankenstein's internal conflict and why it caused him to cut himself off from society. I agree that his coping mechanism backfired on him, causing even more trauma. When Victor's going through a period of exhausting work on his creature, he showed signs of depression by being relentless and overly persistent in his work. After his creation was finished and he had a nightmare, Elizabeth and his mother, though horrific in the dream, was almost comforting to Victor. This occurrence introduces the lack of female roles in the novel when Dr. Frankenstein has a dream about the two women in his life ending up dead.
This is Tiara speaking. As Haley said previously, female characters don't play a dominating role within this story, as Mary Shelley, in creating the character of Frankenstein, depicts a typical heterosexual white male as a characterization within the main character in regards to the time period, as many other authors portray as well, such as Shakespeare, Steinbeck, etc. This only categorizes the relatability of the passage.
It's Brooke speaking. So yeah, the main character, Dr. Frankenstein, could be referred to as a mad scientist. I would say this was portrayed by Dr. Frankenstein having many random and impulsive thoughts as seen throughout Volume 1, Chapter 4. In addition, the setting of the novel was very depressing, which made the character seem even more chaotic. It's Brooke. When considering the former elements of the literary text, this piece has some aspects of irony. This is seen throughout the chapter when Dr. Frankenstein is so determined to create a life in the beginning, and when it was finalized, he disowns his creature due to the fact that it looks monstrous and ugly. Dr. Frankenstein's true character was essentially revealed when he started to ignore the creature and refused to even be near it. This shows him as someone who was once ecstatic to a person that only really has specific perception of what the creature was supposed to look like.
It's Haley again. Frankenstein can be perceived as a feminist novel in some ways, such as events when Frankenstein considers creating a female monster as well. Victor worries that the female monster could have autonomy and strong, complex emotions. This was especially ironic because of his perception of the creature, scary and unemotional, as introduced in Chapter 4. The actual absence of a female monster contributes to the feminist theme in the novel. Though we're not presented with the idea of a female monster in Chapter 4, Volume 1, but the events in this chapter, including his anxiety and his nightmare, might contribute to the events later concerning additional female characters. Overall, I think the chapter does not present many obvious feminist or gender roles, but instead introduces the theme for later in the book. Frankenstein's nightmare, when he loses both Elizabeth and his mother, sets the rest of the novel up for an absence of female roles.
Derived from the diction within the passage, I also believe Dr. Frankenstein illuminates a sense of wanting to fit in and wanting to be accepted by others. His fear of his peers finding out about his creation only signifies his desire for approval. Quote, I dread to behold this monster, but I feared still more that Henry would see him. End quote. Mary Shelley portrayed a tone with a sense of ignorance and depression, especially the disregarding of the creature, depicting the pathway to become the savage it portrays in the future.
It's Brooke again. Well, overall, I believe that the structure, tone, and symbolism that was portrayed throughout this chapter, Volume 1, Chapter 4, was significant in truly understanding the development of the characters. Especially important to further realizing Dr. Frankenstein's true intentions, and with the expression of specific terminology, diction, and imagery, I was able to bring my attention to the formal elements that consume the specific text.
Tiara again. All in all, Mary Shelley depicts a cultural studies perspective within the characterization, tone, and underlying message received throughout Volume 1, Chapter 4. Blurring the lines between what is believed high or low art, this clever author becomes parallel with the demand of people wanting to seek acceptance and to fit in. Mary, at the time, being not as known as the important author, I believe, seeks the acceptance relating to her main character. Mary Shelley, against all odds at the time of this story, creation signifies the underdog story of her own personal success, as the story of Frankenstein continues to be relevant till this day.
Brooke again, and there was most definitely various aspects to Volume 1, Chapter 4 that relate to all of our theories. It was fun conversing with you guys and learning a more in-depth understanding of Frankenstein. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.